You are listening to a Student Radio Association podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Student Radio Association show. My name is Harrison Twin from Nerve Radio. This week we are bringing you the best in student radio content from Leeds Festival 2016. We are on site at Brannan Park over the weekend, so we'll be recording you updates from how the festival is and also bringing you interviews with some of the best student radio favourites who are playing at the festival this year. Myself and SRA Music Officer Scott Hasty, who is producing our podcast this weekend, have just set up on site with our tents. Luckily, we're in the guest campsite, so it might be a bit quieter for us that night. So we will bring you some coverage later on, but we're going to catch some bands first.
To get in contact with us, tweet at SRA.
It's Saturday morning at Leeds Festival, and we are feeling less fresh than yesterday, mostly down to Biffy Clyro's phenomenal set last night. As well as Biffy, Fall Out Boy also put on an amazing show with lots of pyro and dancers on stage with them as they played through all of their hits, old and new. During the day, we also caught quite a few bands, starting with all-girl punk quartet Savages. Jenny Beth, I remember, the vocalist of Savages, was very interactive with the fans at the front. I think she must have spent like half her performance greeting her fans with crowd surfs and staring at each fan straight in the eye when she came up to them. We actually saw those bands across many different stages, so the main stage is obviously a giant area with the huge lead sign across the other stage. The next biggest stage is the NME Radio 1 stage, which is one of the biggest tents I've ever been in ever. And then there are numerous other stages on offer. The Festival Republic stage is a great place to find the best up-and-coming bands. Meanwhile, you can catch great dance music at the Radio 1 dance stage and urban and hip-hop over at the Radio 1 extra stage. If heavy music is your thing, the legendary Rock Up was available on the Friday at Leeds, whilst The Pit was its name for the rest of the weekend. Comedy and late night music could be found at the alternative stage, and then for fans of finding the freshest new music, there are two stages on offer. The BBC Introducing stage was on site as usual, and new to Leeds was the Jack Rock stage, both showcasing new bands. So for punters to the festival, they are spoiled with what to go and see. We'll be bringing you more coverage as the festival rolls on with Foals and Disclosure headlining tonight, but for now, here is Scott's interview with the DMAs who played yesterday.
You released your album Hell's End back in February this year. I had a listen when it first came out and, you know, really enjoyed it, as I'm sure pretty much everyone has that's heard it. How have you found the ride since the release with regards to touring and releasing singles from the album?
Yeah, it's good. It's been crazy, man. It's like, it's a big change of lifestyle, especially for us because we've been touring pretty extensively out of Australia. I think we played more shows in London last year than we definitely played more shows probably than we had in it, like, you know, in Sydney through 2015. So it's been great, but yeah, like I said, just getting used to like not having having a home anymore and just like living out of a suitcase. But you know what, you got to do it, and you know, we're a young band, we've learned a lot in like the last, even since the album's come out, and we've kind of improved as a band as well a lot through all that touring. So it's been, couldn't really be happier. Looking forward to coming back again and adding a few more songs into the set list.
Yeah. Are you still finding new challenges and experiences when you're on the road? Obviously, you said you've been on the road for quite a while now.
Yeah, it's constant. It's constant. But you get better at it. You know, just little things. Having your own sound guy helps. Especially when you're going to bloody venue to venue, you know. Just like little things like that just make it all smoother.
Yeah. Now we have to talk about Delete as, like, honestly, genuinely, it's in my opinion, one of the biggest records of the year. I know firsthand, a lot of people, myself included, the first time they heard it, they were just like, wow, like mouth agape, just it's an incredible track. I mean, you must obviously be proud of all of your tracks, but when you got the mastered copy back of that track, how did you feel? You must have been blown away.
It was cool, but it was kind of different because we had a different mix on the EP to what we did on the album, so it was a bit different. So by the time we kind of done it, we'd done so, like, by the time we put the album version on and got the album mastered, I was kind of just ready to move on, to be honest. Like, you know, you got to understand, we released that song in like 2014 in Australia. So that was like, you know, getting close to like 3 years ago, you know, when it was properly released. And but yeah, it was a big thing with the album because I was a bit worried about kind of where it was going and whether, you know, it was going to sound like we wanted it to sound. And we got this mixer, Spike Sten, on board, and he was perfect. And it was not nice after, like I said, having the songs for such a long time, but it, being so close and having it all tracked, and then finally when those first mixes came in and you knew that, because once the first couple are done, then you know that the mixer gets the vibe, yeah. And then you can kind of just move forward with the rest of the tracks, you know, but it's about getting those first two right, so yeah.
It's Sunday morning at Leeds Festival 2016 and we're a little bit wet. Rain decided to start pouring around 5 p.m. yesterday and didn't stop until early this morning, so the festival is pretty damp at the moment. But that didn't stop the music from impressing, though. Definitely not. First of all, let's talk about the first two main stage acts of yesterday morning, which were actually two back-to-back Franks. The first being Frank Turner and the Sleeping Souls, which we'll talk about first. So, for the die-hard Frank Turner fans, this guy is most known for being the vocalist of Million Dead, which was a post-hardcore band back in the day. Frank Turner and the Sleeping Souls was definitely a different kind of realm altogether, though. It was a far cry from those days. But that's not a bad thing, since he's been embarking on this new sound for a number of years now. His set on the main stage was very feel-good and very folky, which was quite pleasant to listen to, especially at 12 o'clock in the afternoon when everyone's still feeling a little bit tender from the night before. Nearer to the end, though, he did change it up by bringing out his own version of A Wall of Death, which actually became A Wall of Hugs and Love, which was quite surprising, but was quite a cool gesture at the same time. Even if it might have divided opinion, I don't know, I quite enjoyed it. All in all, I thought it was a pleasant gig to see. Frank Carter and the Rattlesnakes came on after him, and you could immediately tell the contrast between the two. Frank Carter was also a vocalist for other bands in the past, including Gallows. But the Rattlesnakes, after seeing them, is probably by far Carter's best side project going. The whole set was unashamedly ruthless, brutal and angry, all in equal measure. It's not overly familiar that a band who had performed in the pit or lockup stage one year then goes on to perform on the main stage the next. So Frank Carter and the Rattlesnakes are a force to be reckoned with. We'll come on to talk about the music towards nighttime in a moment, but first, here is an interview I recorded with Danny L. Hall, who played the Radio 1 dance tent on Saturday.
So you've grown up with music around your father, is that right?
Yes, absolutely.
Has that kind of given you influence from your father as well?
Definitely. He definitely gave me a kind of understanding of the experimental side of music, which I think is very vital, and the importance of the experimental side of music. So it's, if music doesn't immediately make you feel good, there could be some other merit in it as well. And I think that's an important lesson to learn. And yeah, that's definitely something my dad taught me.
So while you were at university, you met a guy called A.G. Cook, who also founded PC Music. In the early days, that kind of label was kind of underground and kind of really mysterious amongst listeners. Can you give us a perspective of the label and your involvement of it?
Yeah. I didn't meet A.G. Cook at university. We were already friends from school.
We went to school together.
And yeah, it was just basically, we never really discussed anything about the label in particular. We were literally just making music, talking about stuff we liked. It came very organically, and to be honest, I'm not even sure where it comes from. It's something to do with A.G. Cook, and then he managed to condense it into something, and
wow.
I don't know how he did it. I'm not really a big ideas guy. I'm a blinkered horse. Focuses on the massive tunes.
Yeah. So late 2015 saw the release of Broken Flowers, your EP. Every song in it is amazing. I'm going to be honest, I have listened to it, and I can't stop listening to it. It's very intriguing for me. How did you find the reception of your EP?
Yeah, I was just so glad to have an EP. So the fact that it was getting reception, yeah. I did love how average a lot of it was,
yeah.
Because it inspired my jungle survival DJ challenge video,
yeah.
On YouTube, which I think ends up with the conclusion that I'm a totally average DJ, and I think all of my marks out of 10 are always 5.5, but it's kind of celebrating those as massive victories, because
yeah.
For me it was.
So collaboration with Kylie Rae Jepsen, it's on your new single called Supernatural. Can you tell us more about how that collaboration came about?
I was just writing music in LA, writing pop music. And then suddenly a guy who I was writing one track with one day said, this one would be good for Kylie Rae Jepsen. And I was like, yeah, it would. And he was like, yeah, okay, should I send it to her? And I was like, what? And then it just happened.
Oh, so it was kind of unexpected then, really?
For me, yeah.
Wow.
Like, there was an extent to which I didn't really believe that celebrities are real people who, like, who actually like live and breathe and walk around. And then suddenly I'm in a room with Carly Rae Jepsen. It's like, wow, this is real life now.
That must have been amazing.
It was extraordinary. It was really weird in the recording studio just hearing her doing her normal takes, and it sounds like her on the record, but it's actually a person making that sound.
Yeah, I see.
I just can't. Yeah, it's really, really amazing.
So at night time, there was a lot to offer. As Foles and Disclosure were a bit wet, we decided to opt for 10 headliners that night. In the NME Radio 110, it was a fantastic 1-2 of 21 Pilots playing before Jack Hugh. 21 Pilots have an astounding year, tearing up the charts with Stressed Out, Heathens from the Suicide Squad film, and now Ride 2. The new album Blurry Face has gone down a storm, and live, it was outstanding to see. Both members of the band were in the crowd, including the drummer with his full kit at one point. There was a rat ball that the singer climbed into to serve the crowd. There was a pillar for the singer to stand on in the middle of the crowd that must have been about 15 feet in the air. And best of all, the crowd loved it, singing back pretty much every single word. It was certainly a highlight of the festival. And then Jack Hugh took to the stage to play an outstanding set of massive hits they've released, including the Bieber collab Where Are You Now, as well as lots of dance and rap big remixes that Diplo and Skrillex worked on. It was a terrific show. However, perhaps the highlight of the night was Rationale. His set was a very nice balance of existing material and new material that I'm assuming will be on his upcoming self-titled debut album. But all in all, it was a fantastic gig, which I had the pleasure to be a part of. And you can hear my interview with him now.
So we know that you're releasing your debut album, which is in March next year.
Yeah.
Is it? So we've had a taste of what we can expect with the collection of singles you've been bringing out,
and,
as well as an EP.
Yeah.
What else can we expect from this album that's coming out?
I think you're going to have to expect deeper songs than people would have been imagining would be on there.
Yeah.
And production-wise, I personally wanted to try and push it even harder into a place that felt, although simple, but kind of just refined production.
Yeah,
stuff that felt like it was pushing boundaries for me personally.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think you can expect a couple more upbeat kind of songs on there. I think a lot of the stuff that I put out has been fairly chill.
Yeah.
It has like an interesting hooky kind of element to it. And I've been stepping up my kind of game and working with a couple of people that I really admire. There's a guy called Grace who I think is brilliant. Worked a lot with a lady called Neo. We've worked up with recently and we get along and we're working a couple of things. And I'm just really pleased at the moment because my record is shaping up to be something where it's going to be difficult to choose what goes on it, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
So I'm in a really good place and I hope people receive it.
So essentially you're like a man that doesn't just tap into, let's say, one genre or one style. You kind of go for one of everything pretty much, don't you?
That's the idea. Yeah. For me, at the second, I think if you look across the whole set of music that I've kind of put out, it's always been tinged in soul music, but a lot of it borrows from 80s aesthetics, guitars and kind of drum feels and drum machines and stuff, and I think that's maybe that where I've set my camp at. But I think it's not going to be that way throughout the whole of the record, but it's just going to feel like pieced together by my vocal, which would be, is always very, very odd. I think it's quite an odd one to put,
obviously.
But at the same time, it's got me this far, so I'm hoping people enjoy
it's
what
got you very far.
Not bad, man. At all, yeah. I'm happy.
Oh, very cool, man. Very cool. So, after winning in Leeds, you'll be off to Bestival and playing two dates at the O2 Arena. This has been a bloody good year for you, I have to say.
Yeah, like, I know, yeah.
So, what was it like to transition from last year to this year, where everything has been going on?
I think this year, for me, has been... there's something that happens when somebody comes out and they get a lot of heat on them, or people really appreciate them and stuff. And then there's lists and people saying these people are going to do really well. I've ignored all of that because at the end of the day, I don't know if my first record would have taken 6 months or a year and a year and a half to record. I can't get sucked into that kind of stuff, and I've seen some people get sucked into it and not do that well.
Yeah.
I think what's these things that keep happening in terms of like a Jules Holland or going on tour and doing things with Bastille and stuff, I take them step by step. I mean, the rest of this year is a couple of shows in New York. I've got an American TV thing on Colbert, which is insane.
Wow.
I'm doing that.
Very well done.
But I think you just have to take these things within your stride and to keep focusing on what the prize is. I just want to make that timeless record and that will make a timeless song.
So that was Rationale and our thoughts of the wet but amazing Saturday at Leeds Festival 2016. It's just after lunchtime here at Leeds on the Sunday, so we're going to catch some bands. But just before lunch, I caught up with a rising star, Rag & Bone Man, who you can hear now.
Is this your first time at Leeds, or have you been here before?
Nah, never. It's my first time.
Really? Yeah. Reading as well?
Yeah, both.
Are you nervous, excited for tonight?
Really excited, actually, yeah.
Yeah, it's
Really good. Yeah.
All right, so you've already played Reading. So how was that festival?
It surpassed my expectations.
Really?
What it's going to be like, yeah. Like, we played on a dance tent.
Yeah.
Which isn't, like, my type of, my music isn't dance music.
That's it, yeah.
In between, like, Duke Jamon and someone else.
Yeah.
And I walked out to about 3,000 people, and it was incredible. Like, everyone was singing along and stuff. I had it in my head that it wasn't going to be that good because with the stage we were playing. But it was incredible.
Yeah, yeah. You've been making music since 15, essentially, haven't you?
Yeah.
Very young age. So has making music always been like your sole endeavour, like in life, do you think?
It was always something I'd done, but not something I've always taken seriously, you know? When I was like, sort of 15, 16, I just wanted to be a jungle MC.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, I just thought like girls would like that.
Yeah, I see.
You know?
Right, yeah.
So, I'm being on it.
Let's talk about Human, your first single that you've ever produced. So, got a really good reception off the back of that.
Yeah, man.
How happy were you to see that kind of success in your single?
Yeah, because nothing's ever given, is it? You can't ever say what's going to happen or how people are going to react to stuff.
Yeah.
But yes, it's like I say, like everything always surprises me. I have this sort of idea what it may or may not do, and it always surpasses what I think it will do. So it's amazing.
That's cool, man. What does the rest of this year hold for you in terms of gigs and festivals and what have
we've
you?
I think today is our 18th festival, I think, so far.
Wow.
We've got a couple more today, obviously, and then we've got a couple more in the Netherlands next weekend, and then that's kind of it, you know, going into September. But then straight away, end of October, I'm on tour with Tom Waddell. For like 10 dates, and then I go off. So the day after that, I go off on my own tour, solo tour to UK, and then a day after that, we go on tour in Europe to do like 12 dates in Europe.
Very big thing, isn't it?
Yeah, so we're touring suddenly from like end of October, we're getting into November, to right away through till halfway through December. So it's going to be busy.
No rest for the wicked, though, right?
No, man.
Yeah.
We're awake early on Monday morning to a campsite which is so quiet you can hear a pin drop. It seems everybody really gave their all for the final night, as did we, to be honest. There was a lot of great music to see on the Sunday at Leeds Festival. We also did some interviews with rock band Dead, as well as indie band Palace. You can hear our interview with Dead now.
You guys have played both Leeds and Reading.
We have now.
So, how'd you enjoy it all?
It was. We built it up to ourselves, I think, and we got. There was some nerves beforehand, but as soon as you get out there, it's another show, and it was probably the most fun show for me we've ever played. But it was. You can't build these things up too much, because if you do, you go a bit crazy. But it's definitely important to be seen on a lineup like Reading and Leeds, where it's such a broad spectrum of bands and genres as well. And that's, something as a band that we
quite love. Like a weird one for us, just because we came from the DIY scene, but like the very, very DIY scene, the kind of thing where we'd work longer hours at day jobs and we'd front the money, and then we were the promoter and all that stuff. So we never really done any festivals, and then obviously this year we've got industry backing. They've whacked us on every festival, and for an alt rock band, like Download's brilliant, but for the kind of band we are, Reading and Leeds is kind of our festival. That's where we should be placed.
Yeah.
So it was kind of the pinnacle of our festival season, has built up to this, but it worked. Lots of people came, so
The
other ones must have worked as well.
Yeah. I mean, I could hear you guys from very far away, because when you come down that mud track, it's really hard to get by.
Yeah.
I could just hear you guys like going at it, and then like you got so much power, you guys.
We're quite lucky, like what we might not today or yesterday, but some other times, like sometimes with shows, although we might not have the biggest fan base, we have an extremely loyal, and I think we have a fan base that they're really diehard music fans. I'm not saying anyone's fan, other people's fan bases aren't as engaged in music, but sometimes you see people and they like this band, they like that band,
yeah,
that's it. Whereas our ones seem to be there at the stage the whole time. Like, they'll check out the act before us just because we're playing, which is really cool. That's what we're like as people, so interesting to see that they're exactly the same as us.
Moving on to your new single, Something More Original. It's quite you, because I've listened to you before, and it's very you, very dead. Would you say that's your kind of approach to originality, you know, like just being yourselves and not trying to pressure it?
The name's like ironic. It's kind of like self-deprecating. Like, someone misprinted in an interview from us that, like, we're trying to be original. We're not. That is the opposite of what we're doing. We're not going to break down any boundaries. And we're not trying to be a band that changes the world or create a brand new sound. We just write songs that we think are good. Like, the goal is the strongest songwriting possible.
That's
kind of it. I mean, obviously the lyrics for Alex are different, but with the name, it was just a joke. It's not original. It's just a rock song. It's just a British rock song. It's all there is to it. That's all we wanted it to do.
Classic rock song.
Well, we think it's got a good chorus. It's got some cool little bits. It's got a good vibe. There you go. Job done. That's the song, man.
One of the Student Radio's biggest new bands was on the agenda next, as Stockport indie group Blossoms made a stake for being future headliners in the NME Radio 1 tent. They performed songs from their debut album Blossoms and played hits like At Most a Kiss and popular festival closer Charlemagne. Lastly, but by no means least, we went to see Red Hot Chili Peppers at the main stage for the last headline set of Leeds Festival. The crowd was always going to be massive, but it amazed me how much noise the fans can make when they're singing the lyrics they've grown up with back to the band. But all in all, Red Hot Chili Peppers were the perfect band to round off what has been an incredible weekend for Definite. As well as the music, I also made time to speak to Palace, who you can hear talking now.
Final day at Leeds Festival, and I'm joined by Palace. Hello guys, how you doing?
Very good. Nice to be here.
Now, I heard you guys are countryside boys. Do you feel somewhere at home here because of all the mud and fields and stuff?
It's very familiar. We're definitely West kind of country folk. So yeah, it's nice to be in the countryside.
Familiar grounds. I was at uni here as well.
So
it's all very familiar.
You're playing the Festival Republic stage today. But let's go back to your first ever gig though. Like, can you tell me how you guys got your first gig? Because I know it's really extraordinary how you got it.
Oh wait, that might be the James Eher thing. That's the second. But we did our first one. Our mate of ours put on a night. And we played that, and then we got picked up really fast after one gig. And we got put forward for support of the Smashing Pumpkins guitarist, and we got it, and it was ridiculous. And he was like a big hero of ours, and we played at Bush Hall, and we weren't allowed a drum kit on stage, there wasn't enough room, so we played with two bongo players basically. Matt was like on a, what's it called, a cajon?
We had cajon in percussion basically. It was pretty strange.
It was like Tribal Palace basically.
But
it went
down
really well.
It was great.
He asked us to go to Amsterdam with him.
It was like the next day.
He asked us to go on tour with him the next day, starting the next day.
Like going on a European tour for our third gig. It was just like, we were just like, this is a bit much.
So, 2 EPs later, and you're now releasing a new album in November, So Long Forever. So, what are we in for with this album?
It's like a development of those first 2 EPs, whilst also bringing a flavour of some new, more progressive style tunes, I would say.
Yeah, it's quite a good balance. There's some kind of ups and downs, and some nice, quiet, gentle moments, and then some banging, you know, thumping,
just like that,
kick drum moments. Yeah, I mean, it's a good balance of ups and downs. Proper album.
That's a good dosing of old school Palace in there too.
Nice one. So early in your career, you got the chance to support Jamie T as well around Europe.
Yes.
What was that like for you guys? Because Jamie T is like.
That was crazy. I think he kind of handpicked us, and we went on tour with him around. We'd never played around Europe properly.
Handpicked.
Yeah. Quite intimidating at first, but he was so nice and kind of slightly took us under his wing and like just sat in the wings each night, like watching us, nodding along. And it was like the best feeling ever. This guy you've grown up listening to, just watching and listening and digging it. And it was amazing, man. We had the time of our life. On the first day, I've got a really bad back, and I picked up an amp. Thanks, man. And like did my back. So I had to, my first day in Berlin on the tour, I had to get injections in my spine. So it wasn't a very good start. But it was amazing. We had the best like 10 days ever. It was incredible.
So that was Leeds 2016. We saw a lot of great music live across many stages with brilliant crowds all weekend. Although it was a bit rainy, it was a brilliant bank holiday weekend, and Brandon Park and Leeds Festival delivered as they do every year. I've always said to myself that Reading and Leeds were always one of the biggest festivals going on in the UK, and it's so clear to see that just by attending. Festivals like this remind me of how much importance music has, as well as how the boundaries are constantly being pushed to involve it into something new. Will I come back to Leeds Festival? Very likely. So, from Leeds Festival 2016, I've been Harrison Twin, joined by SRA Music Officer Scott Hasty, and this has been the Student Radio Association show. Thanks for listening.
You are listening to a Student Radio Association podcast.